Good morning. My name is DC Morgan, and I'll be your host this morning for the hour. This is In the Garden, a show produced by the UC Master Gardeners of Orange County. Our topic today is climate goals and sustainability. My guest is Rachel Harvey, who manages the sustainability program for student housing at UCI, and she's also a master gardener to boot. We will have some UCI students, Freddie Francisco Ramos and Alejandro or Alex Martinez, and they will give us their experiences and perspective in this area. So let's meet our guests. Rachel?
Hi, thank you for inviting us, DC. So as you said, my name is Rachel Harvey, and I'm excited to share about our sustainability outreach and education at UCI. So as the sustainability program manager for housing, we oversee curricular programs with on-campus residents, including some initiatives in our student gardens. And our team is based at the Student Sustainability Resource Center on campus, which is a hub for all community members, and we're excited to be recording here in the Student Center at UCI today. And as you said, I am joined by two of our talented student staff, Alex and Freddie.
Hi, my name is Alejandro or Alex Martinez. I'm a third year public health sciences major, and I am the programming coordinator, which includes some presentations, coordinating, and learning objectives with student housing that I'll speak more of in a bit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Freddie Francisco Ramos, and I'm an environmental and science policy fourth year here at UCI. And my position here at the SRC is EarthRep coordinator. So as the EarthRep coordinator, I basically lead a student training and community building internship where undergraduate residents, mostly first years, are able to offer their education, skills, and hands-on experiences that are broadly related to sustainability. So that class is around 14 people, and it's sometimes remote and sometimes in person, but we're trying to go in person for next year.
Good. Rachel, what would you like our audience to know about your work?
Well, at UCI Housing, we have a total population of about 16,000 residents, not to mention our 600 staff, who support this part of the village that is the 50,000 people that is UCI's total population. And my small unit's primary roles are about education and outreach to support the University of California's sustainability and climate goals. So both UC at large and UCI are national leaders in this type of policy and action. We're addressing a number of environmental social challenges, not to mention it, working on plans for adaptation and resilience in the face of climate change.
I see. And can you tell our listeners more about what you all mean when you talk about sustainability?
Yeah, that is a great question. It is certainly a buzzword, and different people mean different things, and that has evolved over time. So in general, we're referring to the equitable persistence of human and natural systems. But very simply in our work, we like to boil it down to a short phrase, enough for everyone forever. And this framework helps us to ask some really critical questions, such as what is enough? Who counts when we say everyone, and how do we account for forever? So in all of our work, we try to get our audience, student audience, staff audience, to think about people, planet, and economy, and how we can put sustainability into practice using those three pillars. So one holistic example that we give that maybe will resonate with our Master Gardener audience is about an avocado. So think of an avocado floating in space, and we can ask these critical questions. Where did this avocado come from? What kind of water was used in growing it? What kind of resources or chemicals went into growing it? How far away was it grown? How was it packaged? Did the folks who grew this avocado have a good quality of life? And then the folks that are buying this avocado, is it accessible in all neighborhoods? Is it affordable? And finally, what is happening at the end of life? Is it going to be composted, or is it going to be going to a landfill and potentially create greenhouse gases? So it's bringing that ecosystem systemics thinking that a lot of us use as gardeners in our own yard and taking that to the policies and the products in our lives here at school. And so we're trying to bring about putting our campus and how we work here into right relationship with humans and other non-human beings in our ecosystem.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, absolutely. So one holistic way I think we have accomplished this just in the housing department is that we have over time switched to third-party certified green cleaning chemicals. So this means that the things that we're using to wash windows and clean bathrooms and clean floors is less damaging to the environment, but also less toxic to the staff members that are using those products. Similarly, we've switched over, and maybe this is something our audience is doing as well, we've switched over to all electric handheld lawn equipment. So our trimmers, leaf blowers, even our chainsaws are now electric, and that is cutting down, again, on exposure to those toxic emissions and smoke, cutting down on the vibrations of the machine, as well as the noise pollution. And this is a way that we are improving not just the planet, but the health of our workforce and the experience of our residents.
Is it true that UCI is highest ranked in sustainability in institutions in the United States? That's remarkable.
Yes, I know. I am so proud of the University of California. Even before I came here, this is my eighth year, they have long been a leader, and they follow, you all can Google out there, the University of California's Sustainable Practices Policy, which has goals in 9 key areas around green building, clean energy, climate protection, sustainable transportation, even recycling and waste management. We're working on preferable purchasing, sustainable food services, and sustainable water systems. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
And we're performing well in all these categories. So we go through a couple of outside certification processes. Sierra Magazine, that many of you may be familiar with, has ranked UCI among the top 10 coolest schools for 12 consecutive years, and we ranked first in the nation for 5 of those, including last time in 2020. So that means we're doing the most to cool the planet, not that we're like hip and cool. So we're reducing our emissions in energy, transportation, waste, even through our research. And another important one is there is the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. They're now a global tracking system, and we just received the highest score in the U.S., a record 88.59 points out of 100. And what I love about this program called ASHE Stars is that they're very holistic. So they're not just looking at what we would consider deep green recycling energy, but they're also looking at how often do your employees get injured? How often do you have services for students on campus that are in need? Do you have housing for LGBTQ students? So they're very comprehensive in looking at the social impacts of sustainability as well. The final thing I would say there that I'm really proud of is that we're working on a brand new framework across the UC that is diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice centered to come in line with climate resilience planning that is needed now as our state faces fires, floods, sea level rise, and as this is impacting, you know, our student residents and staff, where they come from in their home zip codes. So the timing has become really critical for us to undertake some new quick planning processes to reduce our emissions and address the climate crisis.
So what are some examples of sustainable practices at UCI?
Yes, well, there are so many to list. I'll let the students share a little bit about all the things that they see and do in their work. But a few tangible things that you'll see around Irvine is, one, we have an all-electric bus fleet. So students are traveling across campus in these brand new state-of-the-art electric buses. We've also transformed, so even like our mail trucks on campus are electric. A lot of work has gone into water conservation. Since 2007, they've been able to cut water consumption on campus by 42% by some things our master gardeners may know a few things about, such as turning the turf over into drought-tolerant landscaping. We're also using reclaimed water across like 90% of our outdoor spaces on campus. Finally, green building is one that you can see happening on the campus. We have the most certified green buildings of any campus in the U.S. Right now, that's 32. And that's, you know, if you're out somewhere and you see a building with a plaque that says it's LEED certified. So LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. So we have 32 LEED Platinum buildings. And this means that they're doing some cool things like bike parking, solar roofs, indoor plumbing fixtures that reduce potable water use. And excitingly, the last one that we finished in housing, the Verano Towers, which folks can see when traveling on California Avenue here, this is our first 100% electrical build, which means we are no longer using gas stoves or gas heat or any other gas appliances in our new buildings.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I've heard any new construction in resident or business buildings has to be electronic, I guess, starting this year. So they're really making some heavy changes. Okay, and do you get out to do any gardening yourself, Rachel?
Well, yes, absolutely. I'm an avid home gardener, and you were just in my office, which is full of plants. But excitingly, on campus, we have a number of student gardens and ways that folks can get involved. We have an undergraduate garden located in student housing, which has 46 8x4 plots and a small orchard. So we just did some renovations. The potential there is amazing. What's exciting is that students did an initiative to get the garden certified as an organic food space. So anything that we donate, that we grow, can be donated to the food pantry located on campus to help other students in need.
That's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely inspiring. Some other things I think would be interested to know and find on our website is that we follow integrated pest management procedures, meaning that all harmful chemicals are banned and reduced on campus. So this means we've been able to be certified as a bee-friendly campus. We have a pollinator habitat in many places. We're also a Tree Campus USA certified with the Arbor Day Foundation, which means we have a tree care plan, and we offer an annual planting and service event for students to increase all of the trees on campus and get their hands dirty. If you're walking around campus, you might also see we have a handful of hydroponics towers at our Mesa Court Dining Commons, which is really cool. We're calling this project 1 Mile Meals, and that leafy greens, herbs, and things grown on these hydroponic towers go directly next door into the dining commons, and students are eating food grown in their own backyard.
And just a reminder for our neighborhood gardeners out there, hydroponics means growing plants in water. There's no soil involved.
Yes, they have just a tiny sprig and a water fountain.
Great. Okay, I'd like to turn to the students now and hear more about your work at UCI with your peers and how you got interested in this kind of work.
Yeah, so I'll go first. I am a pre-health student, which means I hope to one day be in the medical field. And I know that a lot of people wouldn't connect that directly into something like sustainability, but in my time at UCI, learning about a couple unique fields like environmental toxicology and occupational health have really proved to me that medicine should be a holistic field that also involves some environmental factors that are retroactively affected by our own actions on the environment. And so along with that, I just think that it's very important for us as an institution to teach our students how to be more conscious and have more knowledge as to how sustainability can be important in their lives and can be incorporated into their future careers, whatever that might be. And so we see through student surveys that they really do want to learn about sustainability and how they can live a more sustainable life. And so we want to provide that education about how small, big, personal, and systemic actions can have that effect on sustainability.
Tell us some more about your favorite programs and initiatives, Alex.
Yeah, so our student audience can choose one of six programs, and so that includes zero waste, water conservation, energy conservation, eco-anxiety, environmental justice, and fair trade. But specifically, our zero waste presentation is very high priority for us. And so just to define what zero waste means at an institutional level by UCI, it means diverting 90% or more of campus solid waste from landfill that makes that rather than that would go into either recycle or composting. And so Zero Waste is an educational presentation meant to educate the students about waste management and to help us minimize that material going into landfill and maximize the material that's either recycled or composted, that therefore reduces the carbon footprint of students and of the institution. And so that, and so we care deeply about waste minimization and recycling, and we want to also tackle the root cause of inequity, which is often the dominant narrative that we're separate from nature and that we should see our trash as something completely separate from our impact on the earth. And so we invite folks to think about the system that they are throwing their waste into and where their so-called trash is going to and is going to end up. And so if people are asking, well, where does that end up? We call that municipal solid waste. And so those kind of landfills are actually the third largest source of human-related methane emissions in the United States, which accounted to over 14% in 2017. And so methane itself is a potent greenhouse gas that's 28 to 36 times more effective at trapping heat than carbon dioxide. And so landfill gas itself, which is also emitted by landfill, it can increase the risk of cancer, cause respiratory issues, and produce strong and unpleasant odors, which again leads back to my interest in environmental toxicology and occupational health, which falls under this type of actions. And so if people want to research more information about composting, they can visit irecyclesmart.com/organics, where they can learn some more information about how to easily do that with a couple tricks, like putting their compost in the freezer, getting liners to minimize the smell of the compost, or how it makes a difference, which often includes reducing your carbon footprint as a household or as an individual. And so along with that, some people may ask where the waste goes from UCI. And so specifically, it may depend on what system your household or institution uses for waste. But at UCI, we turn the compostable items into electricity through an anaerobic process, which means it lacks oxygen. And it is produced in a digester tank, which produces methane, but rather than letting it go into the atmosphere, actually uses it for a further use.
Yes, it's a sealed process, so nothing escapes into the atmosphere. That's great. Yay for that.
Yes, definitely yay for that. And so to change a little bit, change shifts a little bit, I wanted to talk a little bit about another program that's specifically special to me, and that is Little Ants Nature School. And so Little Ants Nature School is a child-based biweekly session in graduate housing where children can learn about sustainability and environmental-related topics through story times, craft times, and science times. And so we realize that a lot of the times these younger children may not grasp the complete idea of what sustainability means to them. But we believe that at that age, any sort of environmental awareness will guide them towards a good direction, as well as to educate their parents into how they can implement sustainable practices in their house and make it fun. And so often that fun includes things like crafts or specific gardening examples that we teach them, like subjects like pollinators, planting, and ladybugs, which we incorporate along with fun things like scavenger hunts and painting a picture, both physically and mentally.
That's so great, and it sounds so special. That's a special program. Now, what about programs for students who want to get involved in action on the campus?
Right, so for students who want to get involved on campus, UCI offers a lot of opportunities, specifically at the SRC and in housing. We offer the Earth Reps internship. So I'm the Earth Reps coordinator. I started this year in the fall, and the Earth Reps are basically sustainability ambassadors. So to become an Earth Rep, we ideally want you to live in the halls and be a first year so we can create that sustainable foundation. But the Earth Reps become sustainability ambassadors in student housing, and the program aims to train emerging leaders within sustainability to expand campus awareness, like Alice was saying, of sustainable practices and build community among the students, staff, and the faculty. So it's very interesting because as student leaders, you're able to do a lot of volunteer opportunities. So one of the volunteer opportunities that I like a lot is the garden at AV. So students are able to volunteer their time and work with the garden. They're also able to help us, like Rachel said. During the summer, we had lots of opportunities to work in Verano. Recycling, composting, and putting stickers on there is very important. Along with that, it's also important to teach the weekly classes. So the internship lasts 3 quarters, and there's no year-long commitment as long as we have students come in and out. But what we want is students to create that foundation. And along with that, it's really important because they help with the training itself. So what we mainly do is we'll teach a class, and then we'll go to the halls themselves, and then we'll create presentations along with Alex.
To their peers.
Right. So that's the students themselves teach in their halls. And since they live in the freshman year halls, they're able to connect a lot better with the students that live in the dorms.
That's great. Okay. Let's see. Now, what is one of your favorite topics in each class?
Right. So besides our cultural check-ins that we do in the beginning of every class, we like to, this quarter, we've been talking about a book called A Field Guide to Climate Anxiety by Sarah Ray. And within the book, first let me define what climate anxiety is. It talks about...
Right, that's a new word for me.
Right. So climate anxiety, or eco-anxiety in this case, is the fear, or like the chronic fear of the current status of our future, and the current status of now and the future of climate change. So in the class, when one talks a lot about sustainability, lots of times environmental degradation goes along with it. So in order to combat that, we have this book. And this book presents a view into how we can develop a personal resilience within creating personal activities. So, for example, one chapter that I really like was chapter 2, where she talks about LA's gangster gardener. So the topic is, I'm forgetting his name, but...
Ron Finley.
I think it's Ron Finley, yeah. So within the, he says that one of the things he does is to promote his own climate resilience. He takes advantage of his own space in South Central Los Angeles. And by creating his own garden in an urban space, you're able to take control a little bit of instead of a hopeless status world, you're able to create a garden within yourself, and it promotes stuff like that.
Yeah, it's great to have green around.
Right.
That's beautiful. A food desert up here.
Exactly.
I understand.
Right. Yeah. So some of our students took that upon themselves and started volunteering at the garden. So that's always fun to see that.
Yeah.
So within that book, and within our classes, and within ourselves, we're able to create accountability mechanisms that will support that part of the resilience, the environmental resilience.
Okay, I understand you've been working with the City of Irvine on a project called Cool Block. Master Gardeners may remember, and other community members, a presentation at a recent meeting we had that went into detail about how we can make a positive impact right in our own homes and in our neighborhoods. So that's what Block stands for, neighborhood, like in Block. So, Freddie, tell us about Cool Block.
Right. So the Cool Block program, like you said, DC, was originally created for neighborhood blocks. But within we've tailored it, and I believe it's our third year here at ECI, so we tailored it to the university experience. So the Cool Block program has proven to be an effective way to incorporate climate resilience, carbon reduction, and sustainability training within the university housing. So the guides created by Cool Block are all very easy to follow, and they're all in a website. So they provide us information on 8 topics that we learned throughout 2 quarters, so that's winter and spring. So we divide into 4, 4 and 4. And the program is a way to create community and outreach within the university. And it's really easy to follow, like I said. So we take part in weekly discussions, and we learn 1 week, and then we talk about it the next week. So it's really easy to follow because every week there's a statement checklist. For example, 1 week will be carbon reduction. And we'll learn what carbon reduction is and how we can create personal goals to lower that carbon reduction. And at the end of the second week, we'll learn, we'll check the boxes whether we did it. So for example, we'll be drive your car less. And our students will, if they do meet that goal, they'll check it off on the website. And then by the end of the website, it keeps track of what your stats are. So we're able to see a quantitative analysis of what we've done and how we've impacted our own blocks.
Yes, good. I didn't think of that. Just leave the car in the stall, take right. a bike, or use your feet.
Right, especially since we're in the university, and UCI is a bike-friendly campus, so yeah. lots of students are able to use bikes or even walk sometimes because things aren't that far away from
That's
each other.
That's great. Yeah.
Right. And one thing that I really like about CoBlock is that besides the university, it's expanded around Orange County. So we're able to reach out to the community, including the city of Irvine. So not so recently, Patty O, the director here at CoBlock OC in Irvine, was able to expand the program for one in the council by providing funding. So part of that was that she asked our members from CoBlock to go to the city council meeting and to either write or even show up to the meeting and plead our case for why we should continue this program.
How was that?
Yeah, and I want to say thankfully we were able to expand for another year. We were successful. All our members wrote in, and Patty was so grateful for us. But I'm so excited that we'll continue another year. We were refunded by the city of Irvine. And I want to shout out Patty because the website, if that's okay, it's coolblockoc.org. So, I'm sorry, cooloc.org. And if anyone wants to create their own block, it's really easy, like I said. All you got to do is just hop on the website, and there's a step-by-step process to do it. Very friendly and very user-friendly.
Okay.
I also want to talk about getting it. Some of the topics that we discussed in CoBlock. So carbon reduction is very important, but the one that we see the most change is water reduction. So here at UCI, a lot of the dorms are provided with water reducing, for example, Brita filters, and we really promote the usage of a hydro flask, or in this case, non-reusable or disposable plastics. And one of the things that we saw, like I said, we have statistics at the end of the week is water reduction. So we were able to lower our water reductions by in some cases 5 gallons per group. So for 5 people, that's a lot of water.
Yeah, that adds up.
Right. And it's interesting and a little scary that only 6 cities in all of Orange County have climate action plans. So one of Patty's goals is to maybe increase that. And by using the CoBlock program, we'll be able to do that hopefully in the future.
Great. We'll take a quick break here, and we'll do a station identification. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. Now back to our show, In the Garden, and the topic today is climate goals and sustainability. And here with me are Rachel Harvey, manager of the program, and she is with two of her students, Freddie Francisco Ramos, he's the Earth Rep, and Alejandro, or Alex, is the third-year public health sciences student. Rachel, do you want to comment at this point?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, as you can tell, these students are so passionate and energetic about these issues, right? Climate anxiety is real, I think, for all generations, but, you know, especially for this generation about to leave college, move into the workforce, become active citizens, right? So we want to set them up with tools, education, ways to be project managers, ways to do community building, so that they can improve. They have the skills, as you heard, to go to the community council, to go to the city council, to create programs with their peers, to create action on campus. And I think that's amazing. And I think also, again, shout out to cooloc.org. This is something that can be replicated across Orange County. Thinking back in the past couple of years, right, with COVID and how many of us were at home, we got to know our neighbors a little bit more. I think this project is a great continuation of that, but with a great message of thinking about how can we as a block work together to understand our water usage, understand our energy usage, and then take that information and say, hey, you know, my city, my town, my block, my HOA, we need a climate action plan. We can do better here. Yes, of course, I hear your listeners out there going, feeling powerless. And I think that's what Freddie was talking about with eco anxiety, right? But There's a place for all of us in the fight against climate change, and educating ourselves at these tiny personal level is an important first step, as well as getting educated enough to move into talking to our representatives, getting more informed and engaged politically, nationally, or with nonprofits to make a difference. And I think gardeners especially, we have something to offer. So one thing I love too, as Freddie said, students getting in the garden, we have folks from across Orange County, LA County, places in California that aren't necessarily green spaces, right? So it is exciting for them to get their hands in the dirt, learn something, have that personal connection. And that's something our master gardeners can share with their neighbors and inspire their neighbors through, like how exciting it is to grow and have your own tomato, or even better, to grow so many tomatoes you have to share them with your neighbors, right?
Yes, that's what happens.
Yeah, so I think in this second part of our time, I'd love for the students to share a little bit about how our work is related to this hot topic of environmental justice, which isn't new. Certainly, Indigenous communities have been fighting for environmental justice for centuries. And then in the United States, we think of the environmental movement starting, you know, in the 1970s with Earth Day. But what I've seen continued through that and some of our dominant narratives is that social justice and environmental issues are seen as separate. And we do a lot of work in our classes with students to think about how humans are not separate from nature. We're an integral part of it, and we're dependent upon air, water, food, and the health of the web of life.
So I like that you use the word web, because it's true. It's a web of humans and all the other living things and non-living things on the earth. So that's a great word for that.
Yeah, so we want people to think about how environmental issues are inherently social issues, and that for decades, for a century, that there are certain communities that have been disproportionately affected by environmental problems, what we would call environmental racism. And we want to make sure that our work is rooted in an understanding that sometimes extractive industries are sited in these low-income areas or communities of color. And as we're facing the climate change, as we're facing fires, sea level rise, the things that we see in the news every day, we know that the communities most at risk are potentially the communities with the least amount of resources to become resilient and overcome. So this is a really important topic on our campus and all of our classes. And we believe that the root causes to both these social and environmental problems are connected, and so are the solutions. And my inspiration for caring about this is a lot through our students' personal stories and then the work that they're able to do on campus. So I turn over to Alex to tell us a little bit about what inspires him.
Yeah, thank you. So to build off of what Rachel was talking about, so the general idea of environmental justice just proves that sustainability is a lot more than the physical saving of the earth, and is also as much of a social issue to certain groups of people. And so environmental justice in itself is defined as the fair treatment and involvement of all people, regardless of race, color, origin, and or income, in regards to the development, implementation, and enforcement of environmental laws, regulations, and policies. So it's important to recognize that certain groups may fall behind other groups who may be more vulnerable as we continue those laws, certain laws. And so folks may that study and work at UCI know that many people who both study here and work here are often coming from impacted families that may be part of those same groups that are affected more by certain laws that are implemented. And so specifically, I wanted to point the listeners into a website that I found very interesting called Cal Enviro Screen. And so it's a California website that gives you information about environmental justice in California and can actually generate a map of the state and show you where places are that include people that are more vulnerable to environmental factors and environmental laws. And so just to build off of that, coming from one of those places, it's very important for Freddie and I to talk about why equity and inclusion is important, specifically to staff. And so we present a lot to our custodial staff and other staff that we can relate to at a cultural level. And so it's a very special experience for me and Freddie and I to be able to speak to people that often speak little to no English, just like our parents, and be able to explain the concept of sustainability at a personal level and what role they play in UCI's sustainability efforts. And so sustainability, it depends enormously on what type of people you're trying to teach. And so certain groups may have different experiences with sustainability and may have different levels of knowledge about sustainability. And so with this in mind, it's important to be aware that different groups may need different types of information relating to sustainability. And so I'll pass it over to Freddie to speak a little bit more about why environmental justice is important.
Right. And before we get into that, Alex, I want to agree with you. I think one of the most rewarding experiences of my 4 years here was presenting sustainability presentations to the Spanish crew. It was amazing for them to come up to us and talk about how they related to us on not only a personal level, but how they were proud of us for presenting this information that they never really thought about before. Or maybe they have, but not in the lens that we presented it. So that was really, really rewarding. One of the best experiences here at UCI.
Great to hear.
Why is environmental justice important? So environmental justice is important when relating to students because when talking about moving here from, or, so I'm from Los Angeles, and growing up next to the I-10, one of the busiest freeways in California, to coming here to the dorms, a lot of people experience that. Noise pollution and air pollution is a real thing. So lots of students portray those feelings when they come here for the first time. And as someone who's worked a lot with freshmen, specifically freshmen who from all over, from San Diego all the way to the Bay, it's good to talk about those feelings. So in our Earth Earth classes, we often have times where we want to create a feeling of personal resilience and the popular education model where I don't want to talk the entire time. I want them to talk to me. So by learning each other's stories, we're able to create a viewpoint and we're able to feel self-resilient that we all share the same experiences. And that's something that's okay. By presenting with each other, we're able to learn from each other. So I often tell my story about Los Angeles and the freeway, but I hear it from other students too. And hearing that also reinterprets the idea that, yeah, this is important. And the UCI student population as a whole often feels this way. So that's very important. And learning to reaffirm those feelings is also good. Talking those feelings out.
Sure.
Right. And in terms of what we want to tell the students at UCI is you can also learn how to be more sustainable in your everyday practices. So one thing that Alex and I have done, our hard work, is we go around posting labels of stickers of landfill, recycling, and compost. So we want to know that those stickers, they're easy to follow. So if you're ever in a pickle and you don't know where to put your Chick-fil-A trash, you can always follow the labels and the pictures are there.
Okay.
And along with that, one of the most basic ones that I think we all can be aware of is reducing your single-use plastic waste. And so that obviously means type of plastic that you will only use once and will have to throw away. And so along with that, we'd like you to pay attention to water conservation. Something like your sprinklers can make a big effect on your water usage, and even rainwater harvesting that you can investigate on your own, which is a cool concept. And along with that, it's important to use your power, your voting power, as well as becoming more aware about groups like Cool OC, Climate Action Campaign. And along with that, I think that the general message is to just think a little more. And so that may include different types of thinking. That may include thinking about what role you play in a broader idea of sustainability, or thinking about when you're holding an avocado, like Rachel's analogy, where that came from and how you can make an impact the next time you buy an avocado.
Yeah, I got one of those little bins and I put it on my countertop. And I was worried, well, I got it as a gift, but I was worried it was really going to smell. But it has like a carbon or charcoal top.
Right, right.
And it doesn't smell at all. So I put anything uncooked, eggs, celery, whatever, in there. And, 3 or 4 days, and I take it and put it in the green waste with the grass cuttings. And then that hopefully is composted. But, yeah, we're supposed to get a replacement of our trash cans soon, but we haven't got that yet, so they told us to put it in the green waste.
Oh,
so, okay. Anything else you'd like our neighborhood audiences to know?
Well, to wrap up, I guess I will just say, you know, thanks again for coming to learn a little bit about sustainability initiatives at UCI. We could talk for hours about all of the cool programs, projects, and research happening here. We haven't even scratched the surface of the important work that our faculty are doing. So learn more at sustainability.uci.edu, and there you can find us at the Sustainability Resource Center. And I think our takeaway message, again, is sustainability to us means enough for everyone forever. And we want to find a place for everyone on campus and in our community to find their attachment to what sustainability means to them, how they can get involved, how they can take action, and help them understand how, as I said, their actions, big and small, do make a huge difference. And as you can see, from just two of our talented students, you know, their work is an important ripple effect. And I can't wait to see what they do. Freddie is about to graduate and leave me, so I can't wait to see what they do. And, you know, that's another thing I love is hearing about the careers. UCI students, man, they are such hard workers and overachievers, and they go on to do great things. And so we want to set them up for success in being able to talk about sustainability and take that into their lives as they become global citizens.
Very good. So how about over this summer? Are you two going to get involved in any other programs over the summer?
Yeah, so in my case, Rachel is right. So environmental science and policy is a very cool major because it's actually interdisciplinary, which means it's between two schools, the School of Physical Sciences and the School of Social Ecology. So yeah, I'm learning math, but I'm also learning the way environmental policy affects cities and people itself. So I'm lucky enough where I was trained as a geospatial scientist, which means I work with spatial data like satellite systems. And what I will be doing in the future is I'll be applying that visual data to hopefully environmental justice practices. So one cool thing that I learned as Earth Rep coordinator is how to talk to nonprofits. So my goal in the future is to maybe use my set of skills in GIS, which is geographical information systems, to help create maps, like Alex said, from the Cal Environmental Screen, to create visual spatial analysis in environmental justice.
Yeah, that sounds definitely very cool. Me personally, I was lucky enough to be accepted into two internships this summer. And so my first internship will be with the UCI Labor Summer Program. And so this is an internship that matched me with an immigrant advocacy group in which I will be doing some research and advocacy with about justice issues within the immigrant community, as well as another internship with Kaiser in which I will hopefully be able to put my foot in the door in the medical field and get some good connections with that. As well as I will be continuing my same role with Rachel, so I'll be annoying her one extra year. And so I know she will put me to work in the garden, and some organization is definitely needed. So hopefully.
And for those of you at UCI who want to become an Earth Rep next year, just know that we are actively recruiting. We'll be starting in the summer. And if you want, we are looking for Earth Reps all the time. The more the merrier, I say. And it's a fun program. It's not very stressful. We have lots of fun here at the SRC, along with community outreach. And I think it's a valuable skill. Before, I was very shy. I didn't like to talk out loud. But now look at me at a podcast. So I recommend for those of you who want to get into sustainability at UCI. And we offer course credit. So just volunteer hours and course credit, and then you become an accredited Earth Rep with a shirt. So looking forward to that for any of those who want to join next year.
Yeah, so spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know it's a busy time of year, graduation and closing everything down for the semester. So thanks again, and have a great summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.